ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Don't have enough time to stay across all the latest news? ABC News Top Stories podcast explains the biggest breaking news stories and why they matter in less than 2 minutes. So you can hit play and get updated while brushing your teeth or making your lunch. And it's always up to date, ready whenever you're ready to get across the day's news. Just search ABC News Top Stories podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Jules and Jez here with a bonus episode of Not Stupid. And Jules, I've been dying to talk with you about this particular moment. It happened a few weeks ago.
Yes.
But it's really exploded in the mainstream in the last week or so.
Also relevant today because today is
Oscars Day.
Yes.
One of the great contenders was going to be Timothée Chalamet until he made this massive boo-boo in dissing one of the greatest art forms, opera, along with ballet.
Let me just read out what he exactly said. So he was being interviewed, right? He's being interviewed with Matthew McConaughey. And he was asked about keeping audiences engaged at a time when we all know attention spans are shrinking. So he brought up the example of ballet and opera, which he said these are art forms that audiences no longer care about. I don't want to be working in the ballet or opera where it's like, hey, keep this thing alive, even though no one cares about this anymore. Did you have a little bit of a, that's what it feels like to work in the media sometimes.
It's like secondhand embarrassment again. But like, anyway, carry on.
He said he had respect to ballet and opera people out there. And then he said this had lost him 14 cents in viewership. So he suddenly realized, oh, I've just actually.
He was laughing all the way through it. This was such a, you know, and what's really interesting, Jules, is that in the reaction to this, it's been swift and brutal. It's been very, very funny. I'll get to that in a moment. Yeah. But there have also emerged clips of him saying exactly the same thing back in 2019 at a Netflix premiere.
Oh, really?
He said it earlier this year.
Exactly? What, saying it's dying or no one cares?
Same vibe. Dying, no one cares, opera and ballet. He said it in an interview with Good Morning America earlier this year. So he has gone after opera and ballet several times in the last few years.
What if we reframe it and just take out the no one cares? Mm-hmm. What about if it is opera and ballet under-resourced, not getting the social media attention and struggling to maintain audiences?
Okay, so this is the irony of what he said. That the broader conversation that he was having with Matthew McConaughey was about keeping movie theaters alive. It was about the challenge posed by social media on devices where people's attention spans are shorter.
Or Netflix at home.
Netflix at home.
Yeah.
And that was what he was arguing for, that we need to find ways of supporting filmmaking.
Yeah.
And movie theaters, places to screen these
films. Which are places that are dying.
And he then pivoted to opera and ballet and says he doesn't want to, as if it was a choice, to work in.
Going to have to give up my opera career now.
And you know what was so puzzling about it too is that his sister, mother and grandmother have all been dancers with the New York City Ballet and described himself as sitting backstage and looking with wonder, and this is where he kind of shot for the stars and decided that he wanted to be a star too.
That's amazing.
So it's such a weird way
Although, is it puzzling or also an explanation? You guys are old school and me, I'm putting out social media. Remember, didn't he do like a Marty Supreme like video out like an advanced video? Anyway, he's been mucking around doing Kardashian-esque things on social media. So it's maybe he's confident that he's like managing to manipulate and understand new art.
So it's an interesting reading, right? Because he went to a performing arts school. He watched from the sidelines as people kind of, you know, tried their best.
I think
studied
his school put out a statement, didn't
he
they?
Just, this is what about the story that just doesn't make sense to me, that he knows better. Some people are calling it arrogant. Mm-hmm. Some people are calling it kind of a bit.
It's a bit stupid.
Failing
really,
to read the room.
Yeah,
outright
stupid,
dumb.
Stupid, really.
What's your take on it? Because here's what I think. Yeah. I think, to me, I saw that and the awkwardness with which he said that struck me as someone who is trying to flex his masculine power in a way that he doesn't know how. Like, what do you do with this much power as a Hollywood star at this young age? And the answer is not to punch down. But here he is with the hyper-masculine.
But you're saying it's down? Matthew, is that punching down?
Or punching sideways, punching up. I don't even know. Like, you know, you know, it depends.
Don't take
on
other people out.
Don't take other people out.
Yes.
And have respect for an art form that just because you are not engaged with it, you are not a part of it, doesn't mean it's any less worthy. And a lot of people who work in theatre and in the arts broadly have been saying, hang on, opera's been going for like 400 plus years.
Yeah.
Ballet's been going for 600 plus years.
Yeah.
Sure, audience numbers are down, but it is also thriving in many ways.
Yes.
The longevity has to stand for something.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm interested in.
Hmm.
Was he partly right? Is there a seed of truth in what he said, that opera and ballet are becoming increasingly irrelevant?
You know what troubles me about this is the conflating of art with volume of audience or even necessarily commercial success. It always sounds naive to say, you know, it's not that it doesn't matter that, you know, your numbers are dropping off, and we know that the numbers of people going to see opera
and ballet are terrible,
considerably down.
So they've been plummeting for decades, not just in Australia but around the world.
But that goes back to your punching down thing. Like, it's still beautiful art that is being made.
Yeah. So Opera Australia, one of our beloved artistic institutions, they really put on top shelf productions. They posted a $10 million loss in 2025. Tasmania's arts minister was warned last year of major reputational risk to the state of Tasmania because of the problem of underfunding. There is a huge problem, Jules, with relying on the goodwill and passion of artists to create something that's economically profitable to breaking even, while we discount the other benefits of what these institutions provide. So an example here, the Australian Chamber Orchestra has a program where kids in socioeconomically disadvantaged schools are given instruments and given music lessons.
Hmm.
And the impact that that has on their behavior and on them academically is immense. It's kind of going against the grain of the defunding of the arts in schools and the teaching of music in schools, that an organization like the ACO takes this up and makes this part of their mission. And I think this is part of the breakdown for Timothée Chalamet. It speaks to a lack of access.
Mm.
Ballet and opera are considered high art.
Yes,
they're
elite.
Expensive to produce. They're elite. And it's impossible for so many people to just go, to be able to go and see the opera, to be able to see the ballet. And so, you know, there's lots of evidence to say that if you're not exposed to something when you're young, you don't develop an appreciation for it and value it when you're older.
Yeah.
And so there's generations of people now who just haven't had this form of art be part of their lives for, you know, a long time.
Mm. Olympic ice skating looks a lot like that kind of ballet on ice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which has been gaining new audiences and significant audiences. I think that's a really good point about access. I do think that there is a cockiness about an assumption that where the crowds are, the best work will be. And I think it must be a massive, just like, to be that successful at that age, he's very talented, he's a very talented actor. You just cannot get carried away with noise and think that noise is always directing you to where the greatest art is found and produced and learned from.
Can I tell you what Eric Whiteacre, who's a composer who's best known for his choral music, and I want to tell you what he kind of, how he puts it. Right? He says this: confidence is best expressed as quiet confidence in yourself. Humility teaches you that you don't know everything. So confidence without humility can easily become arrogance. Arrogant people invite their own downfall. And what he, Timothée Chalamet, is doing is closing himself off to the possibility that there's a bigger world than what he sees right in front of him.
Mm.
And so I think it's this really, really good lesson for a young man about, yes, confidence is great and you want to be a star, great. But that is not the end game. You need to be humble enough, exercise humility in order to understand that the world is much, much bigger around you. And so the reaction from particularly the opera, ballet and orchestral community has been huge. It's been hilarious. So the Lyric Opera of Chicago put out this this little statement on socials. And they said, opera isn't dead. It just includes a lot of dying. Very good actors. Easy mistake to make, Timothy Chalamet.
Actually, and women have a pretty rough time. Can I just say, when you go to see the opera, I'm always like, mate, what?
This is one of the issues I have with opera. Like, I think it's a really brilliant art form, but I think the stereotypes of the tropes are really difficult to digest, you know, from a gender lens, from a racial lens.
I'd like to see women, like, just triumph every now and then, not just throw themselves.
Or just get over him. Like, can you imagine Madame Butterfly
move on.
Move on.
Yeah.
Like,
mate,
I'm just like thinking,
mate, this, dating apps.
This,
get
this
on
story
there.
Could be done in 5 minutes.
Set up a business. New world.
Happily ever after at the end. Enjoy your very long intermission. Jessica Mason, also on socials, made reference after hearing those remarks to one of the big climactic scenes in Phantom of the Opera. And she said, Timothy, don't stand under any chandeliers, my dude. the Seattle Opera, this was a reference to, you know, when he said, I've lost 14 cents in viewership, which I'm not quite sure that sentence makes sense, but that's what he said. He lost 14 cents in viewership. The Seattle Opera is now offering a 14% discount on tickets. Promo code? Timothy.
Timothy.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic.
LA Opera said, we'd offer you complimentary tickets, but they're selling fast. The Met Opera in New York, this was one of my favorite ones because it expressed how much the arts are so much more than just about the performers.
Yeah.
So they did this kind of montage, this video of all about all the set builders, the costumers, the welders, the musicians, to speak to how this is a whole ecosystem you're trying to take down here.
And it's not quite ancient. Well, some of them are ancient forms, right? These are old, beautiful forms that contained a lot of wisdom that have been played again and again and again, have moved people to tears. Like, there's just a need to step back and say, this world is morphing so hard and so fast and the robots are running down the hill in hordes. One thing they can't do is
take over live performance.
Exactly.
You know where they're coming for? Film, Mr. Chalamet.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. I mean, film not only originated in opera and ballet forms, but it is also the most vulnerable to AI. Can I give you this other take, which I kind of really strongly related to? And this is going to make a few people bristle.
Oh, I like the sound of this. Yes.
Have a listen. Okay, so there's this choreographer and performer named Yamini Kaluri. She's an Indian classical dancer in the United States.
Mm.
And she had this take after listening to those comments. She said, at least film has some notable representation of stories and people from different backgrounds and cultures. How much of that diverse representation do we see in ballet and opera productions? Stories are appropriated, stolen, or fetishized. Let's be honest. Ballet, opera, and Western classical music institutions have historically survived because of wealthy patronage systems largely controlled by rich white elites who gatekeep resources and access. And this partly explains why we don't have many new operas, which is why it's so great when you see a new commission, get out and support it, because the tropes from 400 years ago have a chance to be reinvented, reinterpreted. I really identified with that because I've been to the theatre sometimes and I go, I'm literally the brownest and youngest person here by far. I literally look like the help.
Yeah.
And
I think that's it's a really good point about needing to like modernize and broaden and adapt to different audiences. It's absolutely true. Like, what happens if those patronages die out? It rises again in another form, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, good luck to Timothy Chalamet. I'm awaiting his apology. I have a sneaking suspicion that he's quite significantly damaged his chances of getting an Oscar. As we record this, we don't know yet whether
he's... Is that fair? Like, he's made it all the way through the season. Shouldn't it be on his, like... And then he gets tired, he says something stupid, or if he's doubling down, maybe he is just stupid about it.
Yeah.
Should it not rest on your performance?
No, because I think what we know about Hollywood, about the Golden Globes, about awards season, about the Oscars, the Academy, they are obsessed with optics. and I think the optics of this, I think voting closed about the time that this was all blowing up. So I don't know to what extent it would have affected the voting, but according to the betting agencies, his chances have quite dramatically plummeted. Anyway, see how he goes. I think there's a moment here to express, as Eric Whiteacre says, some humility, kind of express some learning.
Well, he has said that he wants to chase and pursue greatness, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Might just have to keep on running for a little bit.
So in case you missed it last week, Megan Burslem and I, a colleague of ours from ABC Classics, she hosts Breakfast and one of the best humans in the world, she and I came up with our top 10 opera and ballet classics. This is a good kind of entry-level listen that'll make you laugh, cry, dance, kind of picture yourself going to heaven. And we've made this playlist so our listeners can kind of re-engage or engage for the first time with opera. And you don't have to like everything. Here's my hot tip. If you listen to opera or you listen to classical music and you don't like it, move on. Mm. If it doesn't engage with you, it doesn't make your heart kind of jump or sing, move on.
Can I say one thing, though? I reckon the best way, I've been applying this to so many things lately, is find someone who loves it and go with them.
Yeah.
And go, tell me why.
Yeah.
Beforehand, during, after. It's the best to be exposed to something that you didn't even really initially think about it all, and then you get it. I've been doing this with a bunch of sports lately, actually.
You have? Yeah. Yes, you have.
Yeah. But being near someone who's got a real
and it's infectious, isn't it?
Because it is a source of awe.
Yeah.
Things like opera and ballet, seeing what the human body and voice is capable of is gobsmacking.
It's quite an extraordinary thing. The playlist is there. We'll put it again in the show notes for this week, but give it a listen. Let us know what you think. Tell us some of your favourites.
Yep.
Always all ears, Jules.
Yep. Send us an email at notstupid@abc.net.au.
Our producers are Cinnamon Nippard and Madeline Jenner. Jules, nice to catch up.
See you soon, Jess.